Hare Krishna. The other day in Budapest, I had a quite interesting exchange. It was actually a debate, interfaith debate, and it was with a Catholic theologian. But it's both audible and visible on video on the Hungarian side, but anyway, that doesn't do much good for English speakers. And it was over at our Bhakti College. It's part of our sort of novel interfaith discussion with different religious groups, not just to discuss for the umpteenth time what we have in common, but to also discuss what we don't have in common and to see whether that has any particular consequences without obviously developing any type of acrimony or animosity, which unfortunately plagues modern news, which is mostly due to different religious or ethnic groups torturing and killing each other. Anyhow, it was a priest who had already known before. In fact, in 2006. I can't remember back that long. In 2006, we met also, and that was in public, and we discussed then. And this time, it was in the college, Bhakti College, and it was really, really packed. It was jam-packed. There were so many. There were guests, there were the college students, there was public, there was no room. There was no room in the hall, there was no room in the hallway. And it was very good. The subjects were really twofold, in our discussion each. The soul and the body, and the soul and God. And well, there were 2-hour conversations, and as I say, it's recorded, so I'm just going to summarize that here very briefly, and not even so much what the points that we each presented, but actually some of the highlights. And of course, listeners all know what our stand is, or our point is, but we began a lively discussion. It was just first everyone for 5 minutes gives a presentation, and then for 5 minutes reflect on each other's what points of similarity each has and points of differences, and then it was a proper, you know, conversation, which is what I prefer to have than just sort of discussions which don't really resemble real communication standards between people, or how you come to any kind of real understanding or disunderstanding. So it was good. We had lots of opportunity to talk and exchange. And one of the main points was the difference between the soul of the animal, no, the spirit of the animal and the soul of the human being. In other words, animals don't have souls like human beings do, which, of course, is not what Krishna consciousness is about. The nature or the actual existential identity of the soul in an animal, a tree, a bird, is the same as in a human. It's just covered by a different type of body and hence a different consciousness. But in Christian theology, you have human beings are special. They have a special soul, and animals only really have a sort of spirit. We had some difficulty with language and what actual words mean, because some of the words for them mean different than some of the words for us. And that was difficult to get over, but in any case, we made each other understood. And so, of course, there's the logical argument, which we went over. But the most relevant logical argument as to why the souls should all be the same, because they exhibit consciousness, because they exhibit the same type of characteristics. I was really shocked, and the audience was duly shocked when he said that animals actually aren't conscious, they just feel. That was one of the most unphilosophical statements I ever heard. But there were a lot of unphilosophical statements that I heard that night. And but what was very interesting, I said, well, just tell me, where, quote it to me, where in the Bible it says that the souls of animals and humans are different? And he quoted different things that weren't quotes that said that, that you just had to interpret and really stretch the interpretation to mean anything at all. And but the bottom line was, and he agreed, that there isn't any such explicit statement. In fact, made a further shocking statement that the Bible doesn't really talk about the soul. And which I asked whether wasn't that an extraordinary thing, that since philosophy and theology starts off with who we are and you explain who the soul is, but anyway, that was another thing. So yes, ultimately the bottom line was there's no such scriptural statement. So I said, well then where did you get this idea from? And ultimately, I humbly suggested that it was sheer speculation this type of idea is there, because it's not there in Christian philosophy. And unfortunately, Christian philosophy is very thin on the ground. It relies on Greek philosophy. There's very little philosophy in the Bible. But then how can you make some kind of statement that doesn't have a scriptural basis? Sadhu, Sangha, Guru, Vakya. So scripture, sadhu, guru, or whatever the equivalent is in another religion, these things are the basis for saying something. You can't just say this. So that was one point. Very, very lively point. And then the other one was when we're starting talking about the soul and God, and they're talking about, well, you know, what is heaven? What is God's abode? So I asked them, I said, well, what does heaven look like? What's the scenery? Because we talk about God, and I said, well, where is God? Is he sitting on a cloud, or is he somewhere? And what is that somewhere like? And he quoted about how the how it's stated in the Bible that God has prepared a wonderful place for Christians. I said, so what is that place that's being prepared? So he says, no, another quote, that it's something that you can't see, it's something that you hear, something that you can't conceive of in the mind. And I said, well, that's well and good, because it's transcendental and we can't either see or conceive of these things, but we can hear about them if God tells us. I said, well, It's not there in the Bible what it's like, but that it's extraordinary. Okay. So this became really the crunch of the thing. I said, well, and I asked them point blank, I said, Kozak Mihai, that was his name, I said, do you accept the Vedic literature as truth. And he said, sure, we accept that it contains truth. I said, I didn't ask whether it contains truth. I said, is the whole thing truth from beginning to end? In other words, is it on par with the Bible? And he said, our belief is, and the Pope's emphasis on this is, that we should accept that all religions contain truth. So I'm not talking about whether it contains truth or not, because everything contains truth. Even the nursery rhyme contains truth. But is the whole thing true? And so ultimately it came down to the fact that no, the only real complete scripture, valid scripture, is the Bible. And others may contain truth, but of course, because Jesus Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the light, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And he said, and no one else has said that. I said, what do you mean no one else said that? Krishna says, Mami kam saranam braja. He says, you just surrender exclusively to me. Krishna also says it. So you believe that Christ said it's exclusive. I believe that Krishna says exclusive. What makes your statement more substantial than mine? Although I don't have any problem with Jesus Christ having said that. That's very easily reconcilable. There are so many statements in Vedic literature, exclusive statements, but they all fit into a very clear linear pattern. So that was a very interesting part of the discussion, where it became very, very clear just exactly what interfaith means for at least the Catholic Church. And of course, I've heard it before, but interfaith for the Catholic Church means, yes, we share and we accept the fact that every religion has some grains of truth in it or some substantial truth, but it's not complete. And I just told them that practically speaking, or at least hypothetically, let's accept that Vedic literature are on par with the Bible. And if they are on par with the Bible, and the Vedic literature is full of descriptions of the spiritual world. Shambiharit machnichan radvan in akakish koronaya. Anyway, it's full on par descriptions of the spiritual world. And since maybe if you had a broader concept and accepted that even if you don't consider that Vedic literature is completely true, but maybe that is also true, and therefore, why not accept that here is the description of the spiritual world as described in Vedic literature, since it's not there in the Bible? Anyway, it was very interesting, was very lively, and he was very gentlemanly. He never got offended. At kishkere korona megvan, never dobus bani. And that was the debate. I think it was very good. One student wrote or spoke said that the student of Bhakti College says, I'm really glad, and they're just a new student, not necessarily a converted devotee. He says, I'm really glad that I registered in this college so I can really learn about who is God. Hare Krishna.